April 14th, 2024. It's the Waffle Pedro Show. for Pedro Show. Happy Sunday. We started off with Miles Davis, John Coltrane, live at the Olympia Theater, Paris, France, March 21, 1960, on Green Dolphin Street. Great tune. And we had Anti-Industry with Torn Rail. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me the members of Anti-Industry. Vinny and Leslie, welcome aboard.
Hello.
Hey there. Vinny?
Hello.
Yeah, okay. Leslie's been on the show, and so I got to learn about her earlier journey through music when she was more younger. And so, but I didn't get to you because you're new on the show. So can I find out a little bit stuff? What about...
Oh, sure.
Please bring your earliest musical recollection, please.
Yeah, I got my start around age 19.
No, not your start. Your earliest musical memory.
Oh, my earliest musical memory?
Some cats have been on the show, and they tell me about hearing stuff when they're still inside their ma.
Oh, boy, that's too early for me.
That's okay. That's kind of a minority view, but I've had people who, you know, I ain't going to question it. If they remember it, then they remember it. I believe them.
Yeah, I guess maybe like 3 or 4, years old. My parents were really into music, so there was always music in the house, and I guess I started around that time, you know.
Okay. So you remember stuff in the house. Now, was there musical instruments in this pad you grew up?
Yeah, my parents didn't play, but my mom was infatuated with Gene Krupa. The drummer, and so she bought me like this little Kermit the Frog drum set, and I had like a couple of little toy pianos and stuff like that. So she was pushing music on me pretty early, and by the time I was 7, I joined the grammar school band.
I was going to ask you, in school, were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
Grammar school. Yeah.
Okay. And what'd you play?
Yeah, I was. The alto sax.
Alto, okay.
Mm-hmm.
John Coltrane was on alto at first. And let me ask you this. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Journey Escape.
And what was the first gig you saw?
The Monsters of Rock Tour with Metallica and the Scorpions.
Okay. Now, so going back to the school stuff in the alto, how'd that work out?
Oh, rather well. I stopped playing in high school, but I picked it back up again in my 20s.
You stopped in high school. Was there a period, maybe nowadays, but in the older days, man, it was hard to play rock and roll with cats if you were on, like, what they called school band instruments, right?
Yes, that's correct. That's why I didn't play in high school.
There is one period in the 90s when, like, ska was kind of happening, so cats could join the band then.
Right. All my friends were raging metalheads and punk rockers, and there wasn't a lot of saxophone in any of that stuff.
Right,
so.
Right.
Yeah, I started singing at that point, yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, so because I was going to ask you, not like graduating, but after school in the afternoon, the garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band, you got into that stuff, huh?
Yeah. My first band was a band called Conflict Burning, and I was a vocalist in that group. And we got to.
I consider the voice an instrument.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And what kind of material were you copying off records like me and D Boone, or were you guys writing your own stuff?
Yeah, we were writing our own stuff.
People don't realize about the movement. Whatever style or whatever, at least cats were trying shit for themselves. Not like us. We didn't know one. In Pedro here in the 70s, me and D Boone, we didn't know one person who wrote their own songs. Not one.
Really?
I wouldn't shit you, Vinny. And then
I'm just surprised.
Here's the story. With our buddy Mark Weisfuss, we were trying to figure out Tie Your Mother Down, this Queen song. And we come out for a breather, and this cat, he turned out to be drummer of the Weirdos. It was a Pedro guy, and he said, you know, there's a fucking scene up in Hollywood where people write their own songs. This is 1977. And we were like, what? We couldn't believe it. So we went up there, we saw the bags, And I looked at D. Boone, and without even thinking, out of my mouth rolled, "We can do this." Okay, so that's why I said, with all the twists and turns, all the shit that's happened since then, at least people are, like, fucking doing shit for themselves. That was a fucking paradigm shift, brother.
Oh, but, yeah. Generation was very inspired by y'all, too, with the DIY movement. So that's the way we went as well. We didn't have management or, you know, we got put out by small record labels and stuff like that. And eventually we just started putting our own material out in the, you know.
It was called Conflict.
Conflict Burning.
Conflict Burning. And, can you remember the first Conflict Burning song that you were part of creating?
Oh,
I'm assuming you wrote the words.
Yeah, I wrote some of the lyrics. One of the guitar players also, or the guitar player Larry, he also contributed to.
Oh yeah, I should say Rush. Yeah, the Yes.
Yeah.
Not Yes, but Rush. I think the drummer man wrote the words, and I think that happened in 13 Floor Elevators too. So not always was the pipes the word man.
Yeah. Sometimes he would have material ready to go.
Right. Well, mm-hmm. Okay. Do you remember the first tune that you provided words for Conflict?
Oh,
Burning?
Gosh. I can't remember the name of any of those songs, man. It's like 30 years ago. But all the material has been re-released on J. Reeves' net label.
Okay. Can you remember this, Vinny? Can you remember the first Conflict Burning gig?
No, but I remember several that we did do.
You can't remember the first. Often. Vinny, you can only have your first gig first. Once.
I don't remember all the gigs again because, you know, there's been so many gigs in between.
Sure. But I thought the first one because, you know, it's kind of special that way. And sometimes they ain't the best gig, right? They're disasters.
Well, we've had a couple disaster gigs, yeah. a friend of ours named Pat Mahoney was a promoter in the hardcore scene. And at that time, you know, the hardcore scene was pretty straight edge, and we were stoners. And he thought it was funny to put us on bills with, like, 108 and Snapcase and Bloodlet. And, I love all those bands, and, I every one of those shows was amazing, but sometimes the audience was into us, and sometimes they were not at all. So, yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes the artists, sometimes you got the art, and you got the artist, and you got the fucking Grand Canyon in between. So, I don't know, the way personal conduct always, like, kind of dictates what kind of music's going to come, because some fucked up people made some great music, like Charlie Parker, for example.
Oh, yeah.
But then you got people like John Coltrane who quits the shit, and gets even better. So it's
true.
Not such a simple thing.
True.
So, but you're telling me you made records and stuff, and then start putting them out. Did you guys tour?
Oh yeah, for sure. Conflict Burning did two tours, and then we disbanded, and then I joined Ed Wilcox's Temple of Bon Matan.
Oh yeah, Ed Wilcox been on the show, and he was a fucking buddy of brother Steve McKay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, because maybe there's a connect with Jay and the Blue Prostitutes and stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm in the Blue Prostitutes.
Oh, shit, of course.
Yeah.
It's a tiny-ass world and everything's connected.
Yeah. Yes, Jason
LaFarge, making sense, Vinny.
Aaron Moore, Sam Lohman, myself, Jay Reeve, and Steve.
Because I got to tell you, the first anti-industry I played actually was from Jay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Jay Reeve and I go back to when we were 18 years old.
So actually before you knew Leslie. Okay.
Yes.
Well, we're going to get to that. You're going to get to that. But tell me about joining Bone Matan, because Brother Steve told me about a bunch of jams he did with Bone.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. He played with us every chance we got.
How'd you get into that band? So you're singing for Conflict Burning, and that runs its course. And so how does Ed Wilcox find you?
The first incarnation of Temple of Bomb, so maybe not the very first, but the record that came out on Silt Breeze, Thunder Feedback Confusion, that lineup of Trevor Dixon and Mark Lux with Ed, that version of Temple of Bomb Matan and Conflict Burning used to play together. We did several shows.
You shared the stage.
Yeah, this little place called the Casbah in Philly.
Okay.
It used to be a Moroccan restaurant, and it was turned into a venue, and it was just in this back alleyway off Market Street.
You know there's a Casbah in San Diego, too, right?
Yeah, of course. And then there was a whole lineup change or two, and then Ed was recording with Jeff Kohlmeyer, who was the drummer for Conflict Burning. So I sat in on a lot of the recording sessions that Bon Matan did before joining the band.
Well, wasn't Ed doing drums for his band?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, Ed's the drummer for that band. And eventually, Ed called me up one day and asked if I wanted to join the band. And I was like, oh, of course. You know, I'd been a fan from the get-go. And I was like, hey, can Jay Reeve play too? And Ed said yes, and that's how Jay and I wound up in Bon Matan.
Jay on bass?
Jay was playing synthesizers.
Okay, because I know he does bass in some of his projects.
Yeah, I played a little bit of bass on the from the beginning of it, and then there was a discussion. Jeff and I were doing a session recording Ed Wilcox with Elliot Levin and Charles Cohen.
Yeah,
and we were listening to Elliot play. He was around 42 at the time. I was about 24. And Jeff was like, man, we need a sax player.
Yeah.
And I was like,
oh that's where you go back to alto.
Yeah. And I was like, I think my parents might still have my horn. You know, next time I go visit, I'll see if it's there. And sure as hell, they still did. And I brought it back into the studio, and Jeff recorded me, and he was like, that's it. You got to be the horn player. And Ed heard me on alto and moved me from the bass to the alto sax.
Okay.
And then I wound up on tenor because we met Steve on tour through Marlon Kessberg.
Sure, and, Marlon out here on the west side, yeah.
Yeah, you know it.
What was it called? Liquor Ball, I think. Liquor Ball.
Yes.
Yeah. It's all Liquor coming ball. Back. The Alzheimer will not win. It will not win.
Yep.
So I'm at the Brown Derby, believe it or not. It was a big gig. Richard Meltzer at the time was with Smegma. Look, you guys gave me an anti-industry tune here, Vision Quest. Was that a fucking movie?
Thank you. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro's show at Chuck Music. Start off with Anti-Industry with Vision Quest. Not the movie, people, but the tune. You can't copyright song title or movie title. For your very good reasons. DTR plus Zach Pishnote with Marianne. Faisarum with In the Cave. A Produce with Raga Riley. Ruth Mascelli and Mary Hansen Scott with Haunted Hearts Part 2. Finally, Anti-Industry with Arctos Aura. Okay. I guess, so now you're on tenor with Ed Wilcox, Bomatine, right? And I know those guys toured like motherfuckers, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we should also talk about the Umbrella, because I learned about this through Brother Steve. Radon. Yes. Right? It was this big collective that had a bunch of things happening, not just here in the U.S., but overseas, too. Like Portugal and France and all kinds.
Well. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you guys were, part of that. It was, I don't know if it's as active as anymore, but this was in the early 2000s, right? When a lot of this is
correct.
Going on. Yeah.
Yeah, about 2004 to about 2010 for the most part.
And it kind of ran its course, right? But, I mean, so, a lot of these musicians are still going. But as far as, like, the collective, Radon Collective and that kind of scene, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And it's kind of was a kind of underground thing with kind of a free perspective, right? Jack Wright.
Yeah, it was a loose collective of just some like-minded people.
But even the music, it wasn't really playing tunes with changes. It's more improvised in the moment.
Some people were.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah, some of it was also composed, depending on the group. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, when people say something's random, that's organized. It's just organized randomly. So you could say something's composed, improvised, too. You know, it's a way of composing. Improvising, making it up in the moment.
And we would do a couple of
people say, oh, you're just making it up. But every composition is made up, too. It just ain't made up in the moment.
That's right. Spontaneous composition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, try to get the fucking semantics together. Mr. Wittgenstein, thank you very much. Okay. So, now how long do you serve? Are you still with these cats?
Oh, gosh. I left Bon-Matan
in
2008, and I joined up with Sam Lohman and John Simler in a band called Sonic Suicide Squad.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. And we did a tour with Acid Mother's Temple.
Oh, okay.
For them in 2009.
Japan, yeah.
Yep.
I got a prize with the guitar man, Makoto.
Oh, yeah, right on.
Right, it's called Spirit of Hamlet. It's with two guys from North Carolina, Benji and Benny Johnson and Scott Irvin.
At the same time, when the Blue Prostitutes started also.
Okay, that's when the Blue Prostitutes, okay. And then since then?
Oh, gosh, I did some work, my solo work, Total System Failure. I did a couple of tours overseas with that.
What's Total System Failure? Is that where you meet Leslie?
Oh, we met Leslie and I met through the Mighty Rat Bastard
in Florida.
Yes, of course.
Just played his pad. You know, he moved and he made his pad is a fucking gig. Just played there. It's a little north of Miami, you know, I can't remember. It's got an old native name, Okaluka, the name of the town. But it's a happening thing. It's kind of in an industrial park, you know.
That's
so anyway, so Rat Bastard's the connect. God, he's been a connect to so many things. And my connect with him is Brother Steve again. This is when he was down by Churchill's and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, continue.
Oh, yeah, so I wound up performing with a group in Italy, in Naples, called Shadow of Vesuvius, with Roberto Bellatala and Stefano Costanzo on drums.
By the way, people,
absolutely
Napoli
drummer.
Is in the Shadow of Vesuvius.
Yes. So we did a couple records together, and I did a few shows with my good friend Michel Christoph and Julian Palomo. From Paris, we have several little projects together, Michelle and I in duo, Michelle, Julian, and I in trio, with other people, sometimes Jay, sometimes other drummers, a band called United Slaves. And, you know, right now I'm working in Portland with a drummer named Doug Ornis, and we're called Minus Two.
Right, right. I got some tunes flowed by you that we're going to play next hour. And you're speaking to me right now from Portland.
That's correct.
Right. And Leslie, you're in Ohio?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. See the magic of Skype, people? We can do this.
It's amazing.
Couldn't do this in the Minutemen days. Nope. But anyway. Where are we? So, Minus Two, we'll talk about it more when we listen to them. But you were talking all this Philadelphia stuff. How do you make your way to Portland?
I just happenstance. Just got to jump ship.
Actually, the Portland that's closer is over there on your side, right? Maine.
Sure was. I wanted a change of pace and a different lifestyle from the way I was living back in New Jersey. So
you were there was a New Jersey?
Oh, that's where I'm born and raised, yes.
Okay, but you spent some time in Philadelphia. Okay. Well, people, there's a river right there, too. Because Camden, with Mr. Whitman is planted. Well, his bones are. I'm visiting his pad there. And okay. It's making sense to me now, Vinny. I'm getting it together. And so who's in Philly right now? Bill Nace. Yeah, he's had a lot of his buddies on the show. You know Bill Nace? He's part of this.
Yeah. Party.
Okay. He had a project going with Kim Gordon, right? She's got a full-on band now. But it's Bodyhead. I think they still do it as a duet thing. But she, and it's trippy. It's got like drums and bass guitar and.
I love it. Yeah. I listen to it a lot.
Yeah, this new thing, Bye Bye is the tune I heard. Man, it was really good. Kim's kind of rapping, a little bit of rapping. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, April 14, 2024 edition. Wap Pedro, so special guest Leslie Vinny of Anti Industry. Hold tight for hour two. April 14, 2024. It's the second hour of Wap Pedro Show. We'll be right back. Walk for Pedro show. Start off second hour, Leslie Keffer with Sanctuary. Then we had brand new DNA and NU Unruh plus Rados out of Argentina with Sheila Brett. And finally, Leslie Keffer again, this time with Summit. So I want to know how Anti-Industry got together, please. Maybe you, Leslie, because Vinny's been doing all this spiel, or whatever. You decide amongst yourself.
Well, Vinny and I reconnected online
connect? If you reconnected, what was the first connect?
I think we met at the International Noise Conference, in Miami.
Which is Rad Bastard, right?
Yeah.
And then he would stay in Nashville a lot when I lived there, and we spent a lot of time together there, too, so... Yeah, and then just kind of, life happened and we lost track and then we reconnected. And then Vinny just sent me all these drum tracks and was like, do you want to do this with me? And I was like, definitely.
How long ago was this?
Just over the
summer, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it ain't too far back. So Anti-Industry's kind of new.
Yes, very new. I think we recorded that album in a month. Maybe 2 months at the most.
I like this idea that the fucking record, or the proj, which ended up being a record, but starts with the drums. Because usually, right, that ain't the process.
Yeah, it was a different process for me, for sure.
Well, I think it'd be healthy for the whole fucking music field. This idea of the guy in the rear with all the gear. I mean, give me a break. Biggest mistake Minutemen did was putting George Hurley in the back. He's last 20 years, all my drummers are at the front of the stage.
Okay.
Okay, so that's trippy. So, yeah, like people, hey, can you give me a click track? Fuck yeah, click track. Why don't you, here's a composition with a fucking drum piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Why can't drums talk to us? Why? Because the notes are too short? I mean, what's people, the attention span's too little? What's up?
I don't know if it's the attention span's too little. I think it's just a primal feeling you get from drums, and some people can't, tap into that primal energy to, just express themselves that way, maybe.
You think they're scared?
Yeah, maybe. Yep. Afraid to tap into something that's, outside themselves like that.
Right.
Even though it's really already in themselves.
Right. Well, I was going to say, too much body, not enough mind.
Yeah.
Because the mind can lie to itself. The body fucking maybe can't.
That is definitely true.
Okay. So, you get this batch of drum tracks. And, yeah, were you tripping on it? Or were you like, whoa, here's some fucking... hunk of clay, I can make some ceramics out of this.
I got really excited about it and, just immediately started writing. And it was, I have always wanted to do something, industrial. And I was just excited that, here I am, finally, I've, connected with someone I can do this with. And
what makes music, quote, industrial, unquote, to you?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I think it's the rhythm that makes it for me. The dark, but I'm not really sure how to explain it. I'm sorry.
Well, Vinny, did you use a trap set or were you using... Because when I think industrial, I remember seeing Einsterdenz Neubauten here. Einsterdenz and Neubauten.
Sure.
In the desert, and it was like most insane shop class you ever had in junior high school. There was no trap kit involved. Mufti was like banging on pipes with goddamn wrenches.
Oh yeah. I love all that, all their early work and Skinny Puppy, Godflesh, Ministry.
There was a cat that was a one man band called Zev. You familiar with him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This cat would almost get killed by the shit because he'd be suspending it by chains and shit. And he'd be swinging around. And yeah. Beautiful guy, man. That's when, the kind of special days of 70s punk for me, where you didn't know what you were going to see at a gig. There might not be a bass player. So, but this stuff that you gave Leslie, was it with a trap kit?
No, I used a Roland drum machine as a sequencer, and then I processed all the sounds, the MIDI files, through a program called Damage 2 by a company called Heaviosity.
There's a Black Flag song called Damage 2.
Yes. I can lag forever.
Right. You can't copyright a song title, people.
That's how I cooked everything
okay,
up.
Okay. Do you know where that drum set that your ma gave you? What was it? The frog thing?
Yeah, it was a little Kermit the Frog drum set, man.
Is it still with you?
No, I'm sure it's...
Because I wonder if you could have repurposed that for anti-industry. Okay, let's listen to some Minus Two stuff here, Vinny. I think I should play this in the third hour. I fucked up. Watch for Pedro show. Yeah, I'm thinking off air, people. Maybe I should have had Leslie and Vinny's tunes by themselves on the third hour. We'd have more anti-industry now, but fuck it. I screwed up. Whatever. Was meant to be, maybe. Minus two people start off that chunk with Lucky 13. And then Otherworlders. This is Daniel Huffman. New Fumes, right? He just put out an album. My bass is all over it. And he used to be a helper man for the Flamin' Lips. And also very much partner of Mr. Tom and Black Rainbow, Super Rainbow. Black Moth Super Rainbow, that's it. Pittsburgh. Anyway, Set Too High, Too High, Otherworlders. Yeah, a little side project he's got going. And then Minus Two again with Low Dose Bus Ride. Why is it called Minus Two, Vinny?
The name originated from Doug. I think he wanted to call it Negative Two, yeah. But we made a joke that we didn't want to say anything negative, so we called it Minus.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is some of the earliest stuff?
We've only been a group for just a little over a year.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Yeah.
But have you been doing gigs and stuff?
Last June. I'm sorry?
Gigs?
Oh, yeah, we started performing live last June.
And how would you call this different than, Blue Prostitute, Bon Matin, Conflict Burning?
Definitely different from Conflict Burning. We didn't have any sax in that band. But the rest of it, it's similar because we're writing off the drums. Doug comes up with the rhythms first, and I'll ask him, what he's got. And
you're responding to the drum. Okay.
Correct, yes. You can see it.
I think that's really happy when, healthy when people take turns like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I always say the most important person in the band has got to be the drummer. Like, you can
absolutely.
You can be an okay guitarist, you could be a good bass player, but if your drummer sucks, you got nothing.
Even percussion with the classical shit, that triangle, right? You gotta have a key motherfucker on the triangle. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, April 14, 2024. District Waff Pedro Show, special guest Vinny and Leslie of Anti Industry. Hold tight for hour three. April 14, 2024. It's the third hour of the Waff from Pedro Show. Thank you. Show Show. Third hour, start off anti-industry with Bliss Imprint. Then Immer, got the youngest member, Bombas Prendon, people. Mo Yan. And finally, anti-industry again with Ritual Technology. So, Leslie, when you start working on Vinny's drum stuff, or sequencer-provided stuff, do you remember the first tune you wrote to it? Have we played it?
Yeah, what is the title? Let me look. I think it was Vision Quest.
Vision Quest, the movie.
Yeah. Okay. If I'm remembering correctly.
And when do titles come? Are they at the end of the process?
Yeah, I come up with them usually at the end after I've kind of felt out how the song or what the record is conceptually trying to, like, tell, and then I make the titles up from there. Like, because this album is kind of like a journey through, like, you know, manifesting, doing rituals, meditating, blissing out, going to other dimensions and coming back a different person.
Can we talk about the process a little bit? Did it only go one way? Like, first it was Vinny's turn, then it's your turn, and then bingo? Or does it go back to Vinny, then from Vinny back to you, back, you know, how many layers of fucking...
He did the drums and sequencing, and then I wrote the music over it.
So it didn't go back for another dose?
No.
With him. Okay. Because I've had some cats on the show 20, 30 times. It just keeps going back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first. They sent him something, and he was like, it doesn't seem finished. And I was like, oh, I thought you were going to add to it. He's like, oh, no, I thought you were just going to do it.
I know what you mean. Like, sometimes... Because I give a lot of people songs that's just bass, which they ain't used to. But I have to, like, kind of almost predict the holes. I got to give them space, right? So they don't know about that, you know? God, why don't you write on the fucking kick drum or on the cymbals? But a cat like Nels Kine, they love it because, yeah, there ain't too much direction. So they're more free to let their own freak flag fly. Okay, I was just tripping on that, wondering about how the thing... So how did you know, since you kind of had the last say, well, who ends up mixing this stuff?
I mixed it and Vinny mastered it.
Ah, so that's like kind of the back and forth that way. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And, what about this one here, Manifestation?
That song's kind of like, I don't know, I feel like Manifestation is like an ancient, like, ritual technology, or an ancient technology like rituals are or something.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of like making thought into matter.
Okay.
So that song just kind of sounded like that to me.
Transubstantiation. Yeah. Something about the wafer and the body and the blood and the wine and that shit. I'm fighting Alzheimer all the time, people. Okay, let's listen to it.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Started that chunk. Well, actually, the third hour. Bliss Imprint. No. We already did that one. No. Manifestation, Anti-Industry. Then we had Tripe Soup out of Quebec with May 19, 2017, 04. Which part of that's a date. Live. And then, finally, Leslie Keffer with Live at Tarantula Hill. Some people say Tarantula. 2005. So I'm assuming this was, which is dangerous, right? So I'm guessing that this is a solo?
Yeah, that is a record that just got reissued that I put out in 2005 of four live sets I did on a tour.
Yeah.
And it just came out this January on vinyl.
Yeah.
Really on a Marigee Records.
Yeah. Now, you said manifestation is kind of like a technology ritual. But then the tune we played the last chunk, it's called ritual technology.
Well, I mean, if manifestation is like a technology, much like rituals are like a technology, I guess I was trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. And then you also said a big foundation of the what anchors this proj, this album, is Bliss. And that's in the title of the other one, Bliss Imprint.
Yes. Bliss Imprint's kind of like about when you come back from, you know, your spiritual journey or your vision quest and how you're left, you know, completely shattered and destroyed by the experience. But at the same time, you have this, like, bliss that you can't explain or that you've never felt before.
Yeah, you know, is that the Actos Aura?
That's a constellation
Arctis.
Yeah, like, that Arcturians are from, and Arcturians are all about, like...
Oh, okay, yeah, I've heard some
music and math and technology and nature, and Benny and I kind of really bonded on those concepts, and I feel like that came out in the record.
Is there reading that you guys do to, like, inform yourself on this stuff?
Steve actually used to say he was from Michigan and Arcturus.
Oh, yes, right. Called. Grand Rapids.
Yes.
That's right.
That was that came from Brother Steve. So.
Wow. Yeah, I remember him saying that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he actually had a track called that as well.
You know what else? Maybe not from Arcturus, but from Grand Rapids. Jerry Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I know him.
He was a bag man for Dick Nixon.
Okay.
Right, the guy had to quit, so they put Jerry Ford in there, right? Yeah, there's other great people that came from Grand Rapids. The one I like is Brother Steve. You guys, what do you see down in the future for Anti-Industry?
I really hope to do another one.
It's trippy because a lot of people associate technology with industry. But the name of your proj is like kind of antithesis, right?
Yeah, that's correct. The thought process when I was coming up with it was, music is ingrained in us, you know, from way back, all of our rituals and knowledge, stories, history was all passed on through song before we had the written word.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so that's why it's so drum heavy. But it's got a lot of like mechanical samples in it, because that's what we have now in this modern age.
Right.
So the entire thought process for the record was to make it, in the form of a modern ritual, which we're kind of lacking in today's plastic society. So.
Absolutely. Can I just suggest something? You know, this idea of hermetic stuff, right? Where there's one truth and there's a lot of masks. So even though it's more modern days and shit, we're dealing with kind of principles that go way back.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was his name? Like Thrice Great Hermes Trismegistus.
Trismegistus.
That's it. right. And as above, as below, right? The little tablet and shit like that. Okay. No, I shouldn't call it. In Pedro, when we say shit, it don't mean lame. It's like Miles Davis was motherfucker, right? It can mean everything from real good to really lame. I guess it's the pitch of your voice, kind of like Chinese. So. It's just same words, it's the pitch. I mean, we use it for questions and statements, right? Same words, you just different kind of pitch. So, But the Emerald Tablet, yeah, pretty intense piece of knowledge there. And stuff. So what's the next chapter for anti-industry?
Oh, remains to be seen yet. I've got some things cooking in the back of my head that I want to try to achieve at the next record, but you know what the end result is going to end up. I mean, who knows?
Same MO though. Are you going to like flow the drums first to Leslie?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like this style. It's fun.
It's a
really good way for me to like think outside the box because I don't write like that normally.
Is there a place people can get anti-industry? People, they spell it, they're missing some vowels. So if you're looking for it on the internet using a search engine, remember that it's missing, a U. Yeah, both U's, right?
Yes. The U in industry is gone. Yes.
Yeah, the U in industry.
There is no U in industry.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. You know what? You take the K out of punk rock and you got pun rock. I love it. Well, look, let me put the invite out. When you get this chapter 2 of anti-industry without the U, can you guys both come on the show and we play it and talk about it?
I would love to.
Okay. That'd be beautiful. So please keep on keeping on. Also with your individual, because your individual journeys also inform your collab, right?
Yeah.
That's great. See, people, human experience is multifaceted. Okay. Proving it with music. Okay. I love what you're doing. Please keep on keeping on, truly. People, it's been April 14, 2024. This is Wapito. So keep your powder dry.